The Penny Singleton Show.
Hello. Happy that you're here.
On stage, tonight from Hollywood, The Penny Singleton Show. Penny in our story is Mrs. Penny Williamson, war widow and the mother of two daughters, 13-year-old D.G. and 8-year-old Sue. In addition to raising her daughters and running a home, Penny works for a living. It's a full life and a hectic one, and as Penny says, sometimes she winds down. Tonight we find Penny completely wound down and looking forward with relish to a quiet evening. She's in the living room of her home reading to Sue. D.G. is lying on a nearby couch, staring at the ceiling.
And the wicked magician disappeared from the face of the earth, leaving the princess to marry the prince. They lived happily ever after.
If I'd been that princess, I'd have married the magician instead of the prince.
Why?
Well, if you were married to a magician, you could say, "Husband, I'd like some ice cream." Then he'd hocus pocus, and there'd be the ice cream. That's what I call a husband. You know, useful.
Sounds practical. D.G., did you just say something?
No, Mother.
D.G., what are you sighing about?
Nothing, Mother, nothing.
She looks as sad as a St. Bernard.
To bed, Sue. Yes, D.G., you've been like this all evening. I felt like I was having dinner with Betty Davis.
I'll bet it's Tommy Trammell.
Sue, you keep out of this.
Sue, I told you.
All right. Good night, Mother.
Good night, dear. And don't forget your prayers.
I won't. Good night, Betty Davis.
Sue!
Oh, darling, she was just teasing. Is it Tommy Trammell?
Please, Mother.
All right, if you don't want to talk about it, don't. I would love having a nice, uncomplicated evening at home. It was so hectic in the office today.
Mrs. Williamson, did a car just honk out front?
I didn't hear one, Margaret.
Oh, well, Leonard Frybacker was supposed to pick me up at 7:30. I told him I'd be through with the dishes by then. I've been dressed and waiting for 45 minutes now.
He'll be along soon. Oh, is that a new dress, Margaret?
I'm not sure how it fits. It's one of those California sportswear models.
Looks cute.
Feels a little tight around Sacramento.
Oh, I'll get it. I'll get it. Hello? Hello, is that you? No, this isn't your friendly 24-hour service plumber. You've got the wrong number.
I think I'll wait outside. Leonard should be along.
D.G., darling, did Tommy promise to call you tonight?
Please, Mother.
All right, all right.
Oh, it's the phone.
No, dear, that's the front door.
Well, I'll get it, I'll get it.
Oh, honestly.
Oh, come on in.
Evening, D.G.
Who is it, D.G.?
It's only Judge Grundle.
It's only Judge Grundle. Every time I come here, I get the same. It's only Judge Grundle.
Hello, Judge. I'm afraid we were expecting someone else.
Why can't you expect me sometimes?
Oh, Judge. It's simply that D.G.'s expecting...
Please, Mother.
All right, D.G.
Excuse me, I think I'll use the phone.
What's the matter with her?
Boy trouble. She's acting like the leading lady in a soap opera. Life can be horrible.
No, I don't think I will.
I was out taking a little stroll, and I walked by here on the chance you were in, Penny. Would you like to take a little stroll?
Well, thank you, Judge, but my heart was really set on spending a restful evening alone. I've shown real estate for 2 weekends in a row. I told Mr. Wiggins his partner was taking tonight and tomorrow off.
Well, I'll get it. I'll get it. I'll get it.
Dear, anyone who stands in D.G.'s path tonight is living dangerously.
Oh, come on in.
Hello, D.G.
Who is it, dear?
It's only Mr. Wiggins.
It's only Mr. Wiggins. That's a good one. I like that.
Hello, Mr. Wiggins.
Hello, Penny.
Oh. Hello, Grundle. Hello, Wiggins.
Excuse me. I think I'll use the phone.
Penny, you told me you weren't doing anything this evening, so I thought...
I wasn't doing anything because I needed an evening off.
Yeah, so what are you doing here, Wiggins?
What am I doing here? Well, I knew she was going to be home, so I just dropped in to...
If you knew she wanted the evening off, why did you drop in?
Oh, now, please. D.G.'s trying to...
No, I won't.
She She won't. Now, look, Grundle. What are you doing here?
I just dropped in to ask...
Well, I've got as much right to drop in as you have to drop in.
My dropping in isn't the same as your dropping in. You knew that she
Judge
wanted
Grundle,
to have...
Mr. Wiggins.
Now, look, Grundle, what I know or don't know has nothing to do with my dropping in.
Mr. Wiggins.
My dropping in was not the same as your dropping in.
I wish both of you would drop out. Really?
Well, Penny, I dropped by...
I dropped by to just simply...
I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I'm tired, and I wish you'd both go now.
But I...
Please,
just...
both of you.
Well, I just wanted to sit and...
She said both of us.
Well, all right. Come on, Judge.
I'm coming.
Night, Penny.
Night.
Good night, and thanks so much for dropping in and out. Oh, dear, those two can be so...
Oh.
Oh, now, D.G.
The waste. The utter waste of it all.
What are you talking about?
Two of them. You've got two of them, and you just ordered them out.
D.G., dear, I think we'd better have a little talk.
Oh, the door. I'll get it.
Oh, what an evening.
Oh, it's just you, Margaret.
I couldn't find my key.
I just can't stand this any longer. I'm going to my room.
D.G., wait.
Oh, Mrs. Williamson.
What's the matter with you, Margaret?
Nothing.
Well, then I better...
Oh, Mrs. Williamson.
What is it?
Nothing.
You weren't gone very long.
I never left.
What happened? What is it, Margaret?
Nothing.
Margaret, pull yourself together. Now, what is it? It can't be nothing.
Well, it's next to nothing. It's a man.
Oh, Margaret, between you and Dee Dee.
I can't help it. I've been stood up.
Holy torpedo. I'd better go talk to Dee Dee. D.G., darling.
Oh, Mother.
Shh, shh, shh. We don't want to wake Sue. Move over on your bed. Let me sit down.
There.
Thank you. I think you'd better tell me what's wrong between you and Tommy. Come on.
Well, Mother, he's just about the most important boy in our crowd, and I thought he liked me a lot last week.
Shh, shh, shh.
All right. Remember when he came over?
Yes.
Well, I was just as nice as I could be for the next couple of days. I saw him at the lake a lot, and I guess I even sort of followed him around. I wanted him to know I liked him.
Sounds to me like you've done the chasing. That's the wrong technique. It might scare a boy.
Well, he did seem funny. Of course, he's been busy. He got a job as a soda jerk at Lester Jinkerson's drugstore for the summer. But you don't know what prestige it is for a girl to have a boyfriend who works in a soda fountain.
Of course I do.
Mother, how do you do it with Mr. Wiggins and Judge Grundle?
Oh, D.G., I'm afraid that doesn't take much doing. I like both of them very much. I like them as friends.
But they're always proposing.
And I'm always saying no.
But they still keep pitching. Tommy retired to the dugout after the first inning.
I suppose the judge and Mr. Wiggins think my indifference is a game, which it isn't. For some reason or other, indifference seems to be a man's downfall. He just keeps trying harder.
Indifference. Indifference. Well, I could be indifferent to Tommy. For a purpose. If it works for you, it ought to work for me.
Oh, it's not quite the same. Oh, darling, we'll wake Sue.
No, you won't. I'm awake.
Oh, Sue, were you listening?
Yep.
Morning, Margaret.
Morning, D.G. Where's your
mother? Mother and Sue will be right down.
It's a beautiful day.
What happened to you? Last I saw you, you were crying.
So were you.
Well, nothing's happened to me to change my feelings. Men. World would be better off if it didn't have any men in it, just people.
I'm not worried anymore. I know the secret of how to handle them.
You do? Where'd you learn it?
A mother.
Oh, I don't know about your mother. She doesn't seem to care one way or the other.
Exactly. She's indifferent. And indifference drives men mad.
Oh. I never tried indifference. I'm usually just bewitched, bothered, and bewildered.
But Mother's living proof that her system works.
Mm. What am I a living proof of? Morning, Margaret.
Morning, Miss Williamson. Morning, Sue.
Good morning.
I said that you were the living proof that indifference works.
Indifference? What are you talking
about?
Well,
what you told me last night.
What?
I'm going to be indifferent to Tommy like you are to Judge Grundle and Mr. Wiggins.
And Al Frybacker's going to get the same treatment for me.
Oh, now, wait a minute, both of you. With me, it's real, not make-believe.
Well, it'll be real with us, too.
Leonard.
Tommy, I'm hungry.
If that's Tommy, I'm not available.
And I'm not available to Leonard.
Oh, Dee Dee, Margaret.
If that phone is holding up breakfast, I'll answer it.
I think both of you should understand that I only want the judge and Mr. Wiggins as friends. That's why I feel like
Hello?
I do.
No, this is Sue.
Who is it? Leonard?
It's Tommy Trammell.
You'd better talk to him, Dee Dee. Maybe he wants to explain why he couldn't call last night.
I'm completely indifferent. I don't care.
Are you going to talk to him or not? I'm starving.
Dee Dee?
You may tell him, Sue, that I am not at home.
Okay. Tommy? She says she's not at home.
Oh, I did it. I did it.
But wait a minute.
Mother, don't leave me stranded. You've got to stand by me.
Oh, come on, Miss Williamson. Help us out.
But I think you're making a mistake. With Mr. Wiggins and the judge, it's an entirely different situation.
Oh, please, Mother.
Yes, Miss Williamson.
You two have trapped me.
Please, Mother, go along with them so we can eat.
Well, all right. But I'm warning you, what may apply to Judge Grundle and Mr. Wiggins may not apply to Leonard Frybacker or Tommy Trammell.
We'll be back to the Penny Singleton Show in just a moment.
This land is your land. This land is my land. This land was made for you and me.
Once upon a time, there was a big piece of ice and snow that no one particularly wanted. The Aleuts and Eskimos lived there, but they just sailed and fished. The Russians claimed it, but didn't really exploit it. Then they sold it to America, and for a while it seemed that Russia had gotten the better deal. They, after all, had over $7 million. All America had was Seward's Folly, the frozen land of Alaska. But the discovery of gold on the Klondike River in Yukon Territory started a human stampede into Alaska. Soon, more than gold was discovered, and the whole world knew that all of Alaska's resources were not frozen. There are thick green forests and the volcanoes of the Valley of 10,000 Smokes, and long winter nights when the skies are brilliant with the aurora borealis. There is a wealth of minerals below the earth and a wealth of furs above. There's the fragile forget-me-not blooming in the meadows and the changeable ptarmigan flying through them. So the unwanted land of ice and snow became America's 49th state, rich in resource and promise. The Aleutians named it the Great Land, and we have finally come to know that it really is.
And now for Act Two of the Penny Singleton Show. It's about 6 o'clock of the same day, and we find Penny and her family finishing an early supper.
What are we going to have for dessert, Mother?
I'm not sure. We'll see when Margaret comes in.
Mother, I'm worried. Since Tommy called this morning, there haven't been any phone calls.
Well, it's still early, and Saturdays are always busy at the drugstore. He'll call, I'm sure.
And I won't talk to him.
Miss Williamson.
Yes, Margaret?
I was going to have ice cream for dessert, but I forgot to send Sue for it.
I'll go now.
All right. We'll clear the dishes and have our dessert on the porch. Hmm?
Tommy, I don't want to answer
it. If it's Leonard, I'm not here, that's all.
Well, I certainly don't want to talk to the judge or Mr. Wiggins.
Which leaves me. I don't care who I talk to. I'll answer it. Hello? Who's calling, please? Oh, it's Leonard Fry something.
I'm not in.
She says she's not in. Good night.
Sue, you don't say she says she's not in or not home. You say...
No, Dee Dee, I want Sue to tell the truth.
Oh, Safe for me to answer at this time. Williamson residence.
I'll get my pocketbook and give you the ice cream money, too.
Okay.
Talk to Mrs. Williamson. Well, just a second. Mrs.
She's in the other room after her pocketbook, so you can honestly say she stepped out.
Oh. Mr. Wiggins? And she stepped out. No, I don't know when she'll come back in. Bye.
Gosh, they're beginning to call, aren't they?
Saturday night and the wolves are howling. I'll bet Leonard is miserable.
Still, I think a dollar should be enough. I'll get it. Hello? Oh, hello, Tommy.
Mother, please now, please.
Tommy, call back later. No, I'm sorry. Bye.
Thank you, Mother. That does it. It's my turn now. I'll take it.
D.G., if that's Judge Grundle... Well, technically, we're still having dinner. Just say that.
Hello? Oh, I'm sorry, Judge Grundle, but Mother's at dinner. No, not out to dinner. I said at...
Oh, well, let him think whatever he wants to think.
Yes, I'll tell her goodbye.
Here's the money, Sue. Run along.
I'll hurry.
Mrs. Williamson, this is fun.
Oh, it sure is, Mother. I know your advice is going to work.
It wasn't advice. Oh, well, it's too late to back out. We're in it now.
Tommy, that's enough fizz water in my buttermilk float. Give me some more nickels, will you? I'm going to try that phone again.
Okay, Mr. Wiggins. Here you are.
Oh, thank you. There was something odd in Margaret's voice when I called.
Oh, hello, Tommy. Can I get a cigar?
Oh, hello, Judge Grundle. I'll take care of you. Mr. Dickerson's in the back filling prescriptions.
While you're at it, give me some nickels. May as well try Mrs. Williamson again while I'm here. D.G. sounded peculiar.
D.G. answered the phone? When I called, Mrs. Williamson said she couldn't come to the phone.
Penny? I mean, Mrs. Williamson answered the phone?
Tommy, something very funny is going on. Oh. Hello, Grundle.
Hello, Wiggins.
Oh, yeah, Judge. Mrs. Williamson answered the phone, and she said that...
Margaret just told me she'd stepped out again.
Oh, no, no. I got it from D.G. that she was out to dinner or something.
But if D.G. answered the phone when you called, why wouldn't she when I called?
Penny's home. Why did...
What did D.G. tell you, Judge?
Well, she told me that... Gentlemen?
What?
Yeah?
It's quite apparent that they're giving us the business.
Gosh, I should have phoned D.G. last night.
Yeah, well, Penny was angry with us last night, Judge.
Yes, she was.
Oh, I was playing hard to get. But I should have let myself be gotten before she decided not to get me.
Hello, Tommy. Oh, hello, Judge Grundle, Mr. Wiggins.
Sue!
What's the matter? I just want some ice cream, the packaged kind. Chocolate, please, Tommy.
Sue, what's going on at your house?
What are they saying about us? Is your mother really trying
to... Sue, why won't D.G. come to the phone?
Oh, they're all having fun. Even Margaret.
Fun?
What do you mean?
They're setting a man trap.
What? What do you mean, a man trap?
Well, it's a game. You ought to play it, too. They're pretending to be indifferent.
Pretend?
Game?
Mm-hmm. May I have the ice cream, please?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll pay for it. We owe a great deal to little Susan.
Gee, thanks, Judge.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm surprised, but delighted.
You mean indifference can work both ways?
Yes, and thank you again and again, my dear little Susan.
For what? Well, goodbye.
Oh, Sue, you mean you met all three men in the drugstore and told them what was going on here?
Was it a secret?
Oh, Leonard knows the judge, and if he finds out this is a trick...
Mother!
Now, wait a minute, everybody. Let's get the rest of the story.
Well, you were all having fun, so I told them the game so they could have fun, too.
Oh? And did they say they were going to play it?
Yep.
If Leonard finds out, I'm dead.
Oh, Mother, I've lost Tommy.
That's Leonard. That's Leonard. Where's my hat?
Margaret, you're not giving in.
I've got you before he finds out.
But you're deserting.
Sorry, but I gotta go where the wild goose goes.
Oh, Mother.
At least in the song, Frankie Lane left a feather.
Mother, I can't go through with it either. I'm going to call Tommy and tell him everything.
Oh, when I think of Penny not knowing that we know.
Yes. I'm certainly glad I stopped in here.
Excuse me just a second, man. I've got to answer the phone.
You know, possibly I have been a little too eager with Penny.
Oh, Jiggerson's drugstore. Oh, hello, D.G.
Now, all right, Tommy. Be firm. You can play the same game.
Tommy, I just got to talk to you.
Remember, Tommy, the word is indifference.
Hold the fort.
Well, gosh, D.G., I...
Take the advice of men of the world, Tommy. Stick to your guns.
You've got to listen to me, Tommy.
Indifference, my boy. Indifference.
Well, D.G., I'm busy now. I can't talk to you.
Ha ha! That's it, son. You're one of us now. One of the three musketeers.
Yep, one of the three indifferent musketeers. Stick around the phone, boys. We'll be getting more calls.
Oh, gosh.
D.G., what did Tommy... Why, D.G., you're crying. What happened?
I've lost my first boyfriend.
Oh, how do you know, darling? He's just playing your game now.
And yours, too.
Well, I tried to explain that it's different with me and the judge and Mr. Wiggins. Oh, this isn't helping you any. What did he say?
Well, he said he was too busy, but Judge Grundle and Mr. Wiggins were there, too, and they were telling him to be as independent as they were. And he was!
I see.
I may never get married.
Oh. Don't make any rash statements. I'm thinking. Now, they think I was playing a game, so now they're playing it. Well, they're faking. All right, I'll fake a little, too.
What's that, Mother?
I wasn't the wife of a Navy commander for nothing. You go upstairs and put cold water on your eyes.
All right.
Now, Penny, for the direct attack.
I bet that's D.G. calling me back.
System sure does work.
Yes, I'll answer it for you, Tommy.
Thanks, Judge. Remember, I'm too busy.
Oh, of course.
And Judge, if by any chance it's Penny...
Yeah, you know, yeah, I know. Firmly indifferent. I'll be so indifferent that she... Hello?
Judge?
Penny?
Oh, Judge Grundle, where have you been? I can't begin to tell you how I've missed you.
Penny.
Grundle, you Benedict Arnold.
Give me that phone.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey.
Hello? Penny. Now, look, both the judge and I are...
Oh, how nice to hear your voice, Horace.
Penny. Oh, that's the first time you've ever called me Horace.
Well, are you two being indifferent?
We'll be right over, Penny.
Wiggins, my boy, we've won.
That's right, Grundle. That means you too, Tommy. Oh, they're begging for us.
But aren't we going to be indifferent?
Well, we've won. Aren't you coming?
Well, I think we ought to be indifferent a little longer.
Well, look, son, you can stay here and be as indifferent as the ice cream. We're going. Come on, Judge.
Oh, but wait a minute. We were all going to stick together like three musketeers. I mean, like three indifferent musketeers. Oh, gee. Mr. Jiggerson, watch the ice cream counter. I've got to catch up with my friends.
I washed my eyes, Mother, and they're all right now. What are you doing out on the porch?
D.G., look down the street.
Where? Oh, they're coming, and Tommy's with them. What did you do, Mother?
You'll find out someday. But there is one thing before they get here. They don't know that we know they were playing a game.
Hello, Benny.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Gigi.
What do you mean, Mother? Well, sometimes when a man feels he's won a victory, it's best not to let him know that the victory isn't entirely his. Here they come. My, your Tommy is going to be very proud of himself. Gigi, don't ever let him know you're the winner.
Oh, Penny, my dear, I didn't know if I could spare the time to drop in this evening.
I didn't either, Penny, but since you pleaded so hard...
You didn't know you couldn't live without me, Gigi.
Mother, when are we going to have our ice cream?
Right now. Would everyone like ice cream?
Well, I didn't plan to stay, but if you insist...
If you can't do without us...
Well, I'll stay if it makes you feel better, Gigi.
I understand what you mean, Mother.
Say, what are you two talking about?
Oh, it's just woman talk.
Oh, cut it out. Come on, let's have our ice cream.
Some of us think Connecticut is a suburb of New York City, but it isn't really. It just seems that way because so many people working in the city commute daily between their jobs and the grassy country-like atmosphere of Stamford, Greenwich, or Larchmont. Those who don't commute, preferring to work where they live, may 9 to 5 it at the Electric Boat Division of General Dynamics in New London, selling insurance in Hartford or making clocks in Bristol. But regardless of where they work, both groups of people have a great deal in common. They don't share merely the nutmeg or constitution state, for the place of their residence is shared with others, such as P.T. Barnum, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Nathan Hale, Noah Webster. People in Connecticut today share the yearly excitement of the Yale-Harvard crew races, the beauty of the mountain laurel blossom in late spring, pride in their state's early Yankee peddlers, and more than anything, the true meaning of their state motto, "He who transplanted sustains."
The Penny Singleton Show featured Gail Gordon, Jim Backus, B. Benaderet, Mary Lee Robb, Sheila James, and Conrad Binion. The music was composed and conducted by Von Dexter. The Penny Singleton Show, written and produced by Robert Soderbergh and directed by Max Hutto, stars Penny Singleton.
Good night. Keep well.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.